Amen. Good morning. I can say that this is a cool place to be, literally. The air conditioning's on, so if it needs to cycle, I hear it. I hear the fan running. It will stay cool and nice here no matter how hot it is out there. So God bless you that came, endured the heat to come to the cool place. And for those that are watching online, God bless you as well. But you're not as cool as the people that are here. Amen? Can we say amen? Anybody here? Yeah, amen. Amen. But we're glad to see those online as well. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share a little bit about you, to encourage each and every one of us in our walk with you. I pray, Lord God, that we would be inspired in our spiritual journey with you and encouraged, Lord, to get to the next place you have for us, for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm excited to share with you something that the Lord put on my heart a number of weeks ago, and I'll tell you the title, and I don't want to scare you, okay? So don't jump to conclusions until I explain what I'm going to talk about, all right? The title of today's sermon is called Transitioning Well. Now, if you go online and Google the word transitioning at this point in time, it will talk about gender reassignment. I am not talking about that, all right? I just want everyone to know that word essentially has been hijacked from the scriptures. Because the Bible, for thousands of years, has been talking about transitioning, and it's not talking about what the world is talking about. But actually, what it's talking about is to go from one place to another physically, or emotionally, or spiritually, or mentally. That's really what it's talking about. Now, for all of us, we deal with transitioning all of the time. Think about this. Before you were born, you got oxygen through an umbilical cord. And then when you were born, immediately you transitioned, you had to breathing air in to get your oxygen, right? And think about that. Well, what about you went from diapers to pull-ups, right? And hopefully never back to diapers. Can I get an amen out of us as we're getting older? All right, but the point is there was a transition there. You transitioned. We just saw Marist College just had their graduation and made it horrible for driving around yesterday. And so they were what? All those students are what? Transitioning from college to potentially another level of a degree or maybe on to a job. You know, we're transitioning from different jobs to other jobs. We're transitioning from school to work. We're transitioning from single life to married life. For some of us, maybe for other, you know, reasons, from married life to single life. The list goes on and on of the different transitions we're involved with. Health situations, all kinds of things. Now, the list goes on and on, but here's what I want to say so that it's not lost in many words. And this is what I want to say to you right now. The greatest transition that you and I will deal with is nothing external, but it's actually the transition of our thinking when we change from one way of thinking to a different way of thinking. So if that's all you get out of this morning, just take that nugget, that little gem, and keep it close to your heart. Because so often, we want the world around us to change, don't we? You know, we want it to transition so we feel better. You know, so then we can transition. I want to tell you, that's not how it works. We're going to talk about that more in a few moments. The idea of transitions begins on the inside, and then the externals change. Amen? Do I get an amen? Yeah, and if you've been in the Lord any length of time, you've been in all kinds of different transitions of life. In fact, all of us right at this very moment of time are dealing with transitional situations, external and internal. So this message is for each and every one of us. And so as we begin to look at the scriptures, I want to look at a template of a good transition. In other words, what's involved to transition well? Because how many people want to be successful in every decision that they make? How many people want to be able to transition from one situation to another well? So that the Lord says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you were obedient to do that. That's how we all want to be in every aspect of life. And so we have this amazing template, and it's found in Genesis chapter 12. Just several verses here. And it's going to be speaking about a man by the name of Abram, who later became Abraham. He's known in the New Testament as the father of our faith. So when you think about that, that means that the things that happened to him, the things that he experienced, the things that God worked through his life, we should be able to say, how can this work for us? And we can ask those questions concerning this. So Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to be reading from New King James Version. Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all your families of the earth, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Side note, you never can be too old to transition. Just in case I miss that later, right? All right, look back at verse 1. This is really important. And now, and the Lord said to Abram. Okay, that word Lord there is Yahweh. It means the eternal, self-existent one. So let me tell you before I go any farther. God doesn't need you. Now, you need him, but he doesn't need you because he's complete within himself. Yet, what does he do with Abram? He spoke to him. He spoke to Abram. Now, you need to understand this. The God who made everything we can see and can't see, who doesn't need you, has chosen to use people like you and me. And how does he do that? Does he just kind of just leave us to our own devices, you know, created us in the first place and just left us to kind of fend for ourselves and work it out? No! He wants to speak to us and have conversation with us. He wants to interact with us. Now, I want to remind you that this is in the book of Genesis, Old Testament, okay, and yet God is speaking so Abram can hear his voice. They're having a conversation together. Now, I read in my Bible that in the new covenant, that we have a covenant based on better promises. And that promise is a sacrifice of what Jesus has already done for us. Now, what that means is, if it's a better covenant, now, just go with me with this a little bit. If God could speak to Abram then under the old covenant, which isn't as good as the new covenant we have now, and Abram could understand, how much more can you and I perceive what God wants to do in our lives under a new covenant? Do I get an amen out of that? Like, come on. So here's the thing. Has God spoken to you lately?
Yes.
I heard, okay, spoke to Norm. Just so you know, God can speak to Norman and speak to you as well at the same time. That's one of the powers of God. He's everywhere at the same time. My point in this is, have you made room for God to speak to you? This is really important. You know, I used my wife as an illustration this morning. You know, often she's like, she wants to have girl time. In other words, she wants to spend time with ladies to be able to talk and do things. So I'll say to her, well, why don't you just invite somebody over for tea? And she's like, oh, that's a good idea. So she gets her little tea things out, and she makes some calls and, you know, invites some people over, and they have a little tea party together and have a conversation. But here's the thing. For that to happen, what did Sandra have to do? She had to make the call. In other words, she had to make room. She had to get the tea ready and, you know, do all the stuff she needed to do so that when the people showed up, or one person or more showed up, she could have a tea party. Well, God wants to have a tea party with you. Now, if you don't like tea, you can have coffee or hot chocolate or lemonade or whatever. But the point is, we've got to make room for that event to happen. And I wonder whether our biggest problem in not hearing from God is that we're not making room to invite him into a conversation. We have to open our hearts for that to happen. First of all, we have to believe that it can happen. And then next, to execute a plan, to say, Lord, I'm taking this time aside. I want to talk to you. And here's the thing. I've known the Lord for a lot of years, 30 plus years. And literally on just one hand or so, can I remember God, quote, audibly speaking to me, like it says that God spoke to Abram. So I'm not saying that I hear God's audible voice every day. I don't. But I hear the Spirit of God speaking to me every single day. And that's not in my head. This is really, really important. You know, your head's thinking all the time, and sometimes we confuse that with the voice of God. It's not up here. It's down here. Down in your heart. That's where the Spirit of God dwells. It's about 12 inches from your head. In fact, if you listen to your head, you remember how your head got you in trouble before? It will still get you into trouble after you're a believer, because there's still parts of it that's screwed up, all right? I'm just saying. The Bible says we're to be transformed, what? Daily, by the renewing of our mind, what? Daily. Means there's parts that's not quite right. You don't want to listen to your head, but you want to listen to your heart. God is speaking every day. And it might just be a direction. In other words, you're going to go to do something. You just have this sick feeling down in here. And it's like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to do that. Or the other way, man, I just sense down here I'm to do this. That's God speaking. Don't diminish that and say, well, I've never heard the voice of God. Come on. That's God speaking. And so let him speak. You read scripture. There are times where the scripture verse pops out at you. It's like, that's God speaking. Take it in and say, Lord, thank you. Have a conversation with him. And so here is God, the self-existent one, the one that doesn't need anyone, speaking to Abram. And here's the thing. God loves each one of us equally. You know how much God loves Abram? Probably a lot, right? Well, the Bible says he loves you and me exactly the same amount. And so the same way that God spoke to him, he wants to speak to you. So what does God say? Here's what he says. Get out. That's what he says. Get out. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. All right. So when you look at this scripture, and there's some cults that will look at this scripture, and they'll tell you, well, this means that if you truly want to follow Jesus, you've got to disavow your family, don't contact them anymore, you know, completely disconnect from them. You know, that's what you need to do. And there's different cults that teach that and preach that. That is not what the scriptures say. I just want you to know right up front. That's not what this word is saying. But as you study out the original language of this, what it's really talking about is to get out of any culture, anything unhealthy or unwholesome that comes from your background to go to something new. And that's what it's talking about. Let me give you an example here. Abram came from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. Let me tell you what their culture was. They worshipped a god by the name of Moloch. And this god is, there's only a couple of gods like this, Old Testament gods. But this particular one, you know what they did? They would sacrifice live children to this god. That's what they did in the land of Ur, where Abram came from. That is his culture, his country, his background, what his family did. That's where he came from. Just think about that. And so when God's saying get out from your country, from your family, what he's talking about is from the way of thinking that is destructive. Now, I pray that none of you have family members offering up babies, okay? I pray. But here's the thing. There could be just as deadly, unhealthy things that they're doing that God is saying, get out! You need to leave. You need to not be a part of that culture anymore. Now, there are times where you may have to physically distance yourself because it's just so horrendous. But in most cases, that's not what we need to do. In most cases, it just means to come to a different place of thinking, a way of just leaving that behind to walk in what God has for you. And so, get out of the culture to come into something. You see, I'm going to say something right now. So often, we want what God has for us. How many people want what God has for you? All right. And I'm with you. And here's what we often do. Lord, this is what I want. And we kind of come up with our bucket list, our wish list. And we're like, well, God, I want it, and I want it like yesterday. How many people, you know, right, all right, you're like, come on, you know, what's the problem? Here's the thing. For us to get what God has for us, something may have to go. And in fact, if you look at this, this is pretty clear. Here's what God says to Abram, the first words, get out! And then, as you look at the list, says, from your family, from your father's house, to a land which I will show you. Again, referring to the culture, referring to maybe ways of thinking. But then here's what he does in verses 2 and 3. He gives 7 blessings. In other words, all Abram had to do was get out, in other words, begin a journey, and God would bless him in 7 different ways. And you can read about it. And we're not here to study those blessings today. But I will tell you that it's worth looking at. You know, basically bless you in your comings, your goings, curse your enemies, bless your family. You know, through your entire, your whole family will bless the entire earth. Wow. And we know that, right? Christianity is, if Abraham is the father of our faith, Christianity came through him, if you know what I'm saying. Through Christ, of course, but ultimately, he was the start of the race of Israel, of the Jewish nation. And out of that came Christianity. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So it happened just like God said it would. But here's the thing. We want the blessings without the going out part. We want God, okay, give me this, and then when I get this, I'll stop doing this. I'll stop thinking this way. I'll stop acting this way, because you're just going to bless me so much. But that's not what I read here. It says, get out. In other words, there's an act of faith that you and I have to take before God can give the new. And that is challenging, isn't it? It is. I deal with it. You deal with it. Yep. In 1993, the end of 1993, the last week between Christmas and New Year's, Sandra and I loaded up our Chevy station wagon. It wasn't even a full-size Chevy station wagon. One of those little downsized ones. In a big moving truck and moved from Canada to the United States. Went from rural farmland to suburbia, Hyde Park. And I thought, this is no big change. You know, they speak the same language. Found out they don't, because everybody started laughing at me all the time. I'm saying A, and they're like, is that the only letter of the alphabet you know? And I'm like, come on. You know, I got tormented for years. Now when I go back there, they think I talk funny. So I can't win in either place. But the point is, the transition from that was unbelievable. Now, again, I thought, you know, no big deal. You know, I'm going to come down here, go to Bible school, and speak the same language. They're humans like me, you know. But the thing is, the transition was unbelievably challenging. So what I do when I'm dealing with difficult things, and I know some of you, I'm seeing Brian, I could see him doing this as well. When I'm dealing with difficult situations, I just bury myself in work. That's what I did. But Sandra, on the other hand, she's got four little kids. Oh, did I mention when we loaded up the car, there was like four little kids that we were bringing as well? Yeah, so we had them as well, so we bring them. And so, you know, for Sandra, she's leaving her family, her friends, her neighbors, the house that she had on 100 acres, you know, leaving all that to move to Hyde Park in a little house in suburbia, where when you are in the bathroom, look out the window, someone's looking at you through the other window. It's like, whoa, what the heck? You know, you get what I'm saying? This was all, you know, what we had looking at our windows were deer. If you get what I'm saying, that didn't scare us so much. You know, the people, that's what scared, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. For us, it was this unbelievable transition. And I know that some of you have been through far more horrendous transitions than that. Maybe a moving transition, maybe a family situation. You know, the list goes on and on of the challenges with this. But here's the thing. If you want to come into the blessings that God has for you, you have to get out of some things. And it may be habits and lifestyles and things. But let me tell you something. The greatest thing you and I have to come out of is a way of thinking. And for the last almost 30 years, that has been the transition that I've had to deal with and has been the most challenging in my life. It's not, you know, all the things on the outside. It's changing my thinking. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But the thing is, if I ask, well, how many people here think they think pretty good? Most of us would try to put up our hands. But then, let me tell you something. That's a fine line. Because the minute you think you're thinking right, then there's no room for change. And so I'm learning, as I've been walking with the Lord, especially these last number of years, is to be open to listening. Because God wants to change our way of thinking. And that's challenging. Okay, so let's look at this now. So as we go on, you got the blessings, so get out, and then you got the blessings. Then verse 4, let's look back at this again. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So you'll notice I underlined two words, and they're the same words, right? In the English language, departed and departed. And if you ever wondered, maybe you haven't, but when I read this, why was it there twice? It's almost like the Lord's repeating himself. Can I tell you, you know, God doesn't do things without a reason. The next thing I want to tell you is this, that the English Bible is an amazing translation from the original language. It really is. But there are times in certain spots, just very few spots, where you can get a little more meaning from the original language of what's going on. And in this case, we have that. In fact, I remember looking this up maybe 10, 15 years ago in the original language, and the two words departed there, even though they're translated the same word in English, is actually two different Hebrew words. It's pretty cool. And so I'm like, oh, I wonder what this means. So as I began to look at this, all of a sudden the light came on in my life anyways, because let me just tell you what happens here. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him. So you would think, what? Departed. He left to go where God had called him to go. Well, that's actually not what that word means. The original Hebrew word is halak. Now, you probably don't care, but I'm just telling you so you know. So you think, hey, this guy sort of knows what he's talking about, right? So that's the original Hebrew word. But here's what it means. It literally, in the lexicon, which is the, you know, the basis, most detailed version, is this: to die to a manner of life. So think about this. So Abraham departed from a manner of life. In other words, he died to a manner of life. In other words, he changed his thinking. Something happened on the inside as the Lord had spoke to him, and Lot went with him. Then look at this. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And the second word, which is yatzah, actually means he physically got up and went. So what had to happen first? Could he physically go, and then as he went, his mind was changed? No. He had to internally say, Lord, I'm in agreement with you. I will do what you're asking me to do. And then God made a way for him. That's the same for you and I. Are you stuck today in your walk with God? Let me tell you something. It's not God's problem. It's not God. It's not God holding you back. What the problem is you're not willing to let go of something so that you can have the new that God has for you. It's that simple. You know, I there's nothing complicated. I'm a pretty simple person. As I look at Scripture, God did not complicate the Scriptures. He made it so you don't need a lawyer. You know, we've got Jesus as our advocate, as a lawyer, so he's our lawyer. But for us, he gave us his word so that we could understand plainly what we need to do. And let me tell you something. That Scripture plainly tells me that a part of you has to die on the inside for you to get what God has for you. Does everyone agree with me? It's that clear, right? And it really is. Now, where it's not so clear is actually the doing part. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so now, okay, here's the practical side. How do we actually do this? And the reality of it is through faith. It's through trusting that God is who he says he is. That he is the eternal, self-existent one. That he has a plan for your life. He doesn't live in our time. He transcends time. He's been in your past, your present, and your future all at the same time. And that when he speaks, he's speaking from absolute perfect wisdom and knowledge of your circumstances. You can't go to him when he tells you something, say, but God, what about this and this and this? He goes, yeah, I got that covered. But God, what about... No, I got that covered too. In other words, you could go on as many buts as you want, and God's going to say, I got that all looked after. So when I'm telling you to do this, you just need to do it. But the problem is, for you to do it, you've got to say, yes, Lord, and something's got to die on the inside. Which usually for me, I shouldn't say for you, let me tell you what it is for me, it's a way of thinking. It's an attitude. It's something on the inside that's holding me back from what God has for me. Okay, so I've given you this awesome template, because if we look at the life of Abram, he goes through, he gets blessed, right? We're blessed all the way through to today because of his obedience back then. Well, can I give you a template of one that didn't work out? Maybe it would help us to learn what not to do, right? So all we need to do is stay in the same place in our Bibles and go back just a couple of verses. So go back to Genesis 11, verse 27. Just a couple of verses. And we'll see a template of a failed transition. Genesis 11, beginning at verse 27. This is a genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren and had no child. Look at verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from where? Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, we don't have in Scripture where God spoke to Terah to tell him to go to the land of Canaan, but we know God must have. Now, let me tell you why. The land of Canaan was not like on the vacation maps in biblical times. It wasn't like the place to go, all right? It wasn't actually a great place to go at all. And so when they picked up and were leaving Ur, they were going because God must have directed them. In other words, one generation before. See, Terah is Abram's dad. But what happened? They got going, they're going along, and they end up stopping at a place called Haran. 300 miles short. So if you went 10 miles a day, 30 days of travel, which is easy to do. You can walk 10 miles a day really, really easy. So literally 30 days short of the promised land. And it says they dwelt there. When you look up the original word, it means they settled. In other words, he said, I'm not going any farther. Now, I don't know the why part. It could be, you know, because of his son's death. You know, people, you know, have people die in their family. Back then, if a son or a daughter died before you, it was a huge, you know, blow to the family. You know, just really challenging. So that might have been part of it. I have no idea. Maybe he thought that the place where he was at was good enough. Although I'm not so sure about it, because the name of Haran actually means dry, parched place. So in my mind, I don't think it was a good place. But for whatever reason, he could not make the transition from Ur to Canaan. And so he ends up dying there in the wilderness, in a dry and parched place. So what does God do? Does God give up? No. Goes to the next generation. Says, Abram, I want you to go. I remember seeing an interview of Catherine Kuhlman. How many people have heard of her? She was a woman in ministry back in the 50s and 60s, at a time where there were not many women in ministry. But, you know, the signs and wonders that she was a part of were amazing, you know. And so people had to say, look at, you know, God's with her, you know. And so a reporter was interviewing her one day and said, look at, you know, what right do you think you have as a woman, you know, doing this, which is, you know, a man's position? Again, I'm okay for ladies being pastors, okay? I'm just saying in that day, that just wasn't happening. And so Catherine Kuhlman had a very interesting answer. Here's what she said. She said, you know, I asked the Lord about that. And here's what the Lord told me. He actually asked three other men to do what I'm doing now. But they all said no, so God came to me. I was actually fourth in line. Abram was second in line. Because in the case, his father stopped partway through. I'm going to say something to you, and it may sound harsh, but I'm just going to be real with you. God's master plan is going to happen whether you want to be a part of it or not. I'm just being honest with you. His master plan, his plan of salvation for this earth, his plan to see Hyde Park change, his plan for this state to change, all of that, it's going to happen whether you want to be a part of it or not. The question is, are you willing to let parts of you die that are unhealthy, unwholesome, so you can be part of this amazing plan that God has? That's really the question that this morning we're talking about. Are you willing to make room for God to do miracles and signs and wonders in your life? Catherine Kuhlman said, sure. She said, okay. And God used her in a mighty way. God doesn't love Catherine Kuhlman any more than he loves you and me. And so often we miss out on what God has for us just because we're unwilling to let unhealthy ways of thinking, lifestyles, different things in our lives go to have the new that God has for us. That's challenging. So where are you today?